This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Uplift Desk. In today's work environment, it's essential to find balance and promote well-being, and Uplift Desk is here to make that a reality. With a focus on ergonomics and innovative design, Uplift Desk offers standing desks that not only encourage healthier work habits, but also enhance your overall productivity. Each desk is built with unmatched stability and quality, ensuring that your workspace is both dynamic and durable. The beauty of Uplift Desk lies in its extensive customization options, allowing you to select from a vast array of desktops and accessories to fit your specific work needs and aesthetic preferences. Additionally, Uplift Desk is committed to customer satisfaction, offering fast shipping, free returns, and a 15-year warranty. Transform your office and your health by visiting UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your entire order. With Uplift Desk, you're not just investing in a piece of furniture, you're investing in a healthier, more productive future. Again, go to UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your order today.
Hi, I'm Anna Swee, and I'm about to have a productive conversation with Mike Bardi.
Welcome to A Productive Conversation. Mike Bardi with you once again, and this time I'm joined by Anna Swee. She is the creator of the Genius Method. We get into genius because she's a genius coach. She's also an international writer, the author of Shadow Magic, Turn Your Fear into Fuel and Create a Prosperous Coaching Business. She's also a serial entrepreneur and a speaker. This book that we're going to dive into, it shows readers how to overcome their personal self-sabotage and build a thriving career and business. I tell a story about the shadow self infiltrating my world not too long ago, as well as a Star Wars reference or two shows up. We talk about parenting to a degree. There's a lot of great stuff during this conversation. We had what we like to call a badass conversation, but it was a productive one too. Here it is, my conversation with Anna Swee. Enjoy. Anna, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. This conversation's been on the books for a while.
I know, it's epic. It's definitely going to be epic.
The book that we want to focus on today, I want to focus on other elements of your work as well, but the book Shadow Magic, Turn Your Fear into Fuel and Create a Prosperous Coaching Business. I do some coaching in terms of productivity. What kind of coaching are you focused on for those that are listening that are not 100% aware or just decided to skip the bio and come right to the conversation?
Well, it's really funny that you asked that, Mike, because after doing this shadow work, helping people uncover their self-sabotage, something else opened up, which is their inner genius. And so right now I help people focus on truly what their genius is. And what I've discovered, which is fascinating, is everyone has a genius, right? And it's not necessarily IQ based, because all of our genius expresses ourselves in different ways. And some of it is, it's just like an energy epicenter of how we show up in the world. So that's what I'm focusing on doing now, is helping people truly be in their genius.
Okay. So I'm going to shift my initial question to people heard of the zone of genius before,
yes,
obviously, right? So is that the area you kind of explore, but you go a little bit further afield with that or deeper, or what does that look like?
Oh yeah. Zone of genius. We've all heard of it. You're absolutely right. But do we know what it is? Do we know what it's like for us to be in our zone of genius? I think some people know it's like when you're in flow and when time stops, but like, what the heck does that mean? And I found that it really is, the best way I can describe it, it's almost like a mental, emotional, energetic state that is a very common state that people are in. So I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. I have a client, one of their zone of genius is when they're making discoveries and when they're exploring.
Right.
Right. And so this is someone who, as a kid, would go off into the dark corners of the forest, right? Places where you and I probably have went, speaking for myself. I don't know. You're from Canada. So
we have forests.
Yeah. But when he's doing that, he's activating a certain specific set of skills and cues, and he is in his zone of genius. And when he basically combined that, and I think you're going to like this because it's very productive. When he combined that with his copywriting business, it was like he could find things that other people couldn't find. He could find stories, he could do right. He was like filled up with this energy of his own genius.
Yesterday, I was walking back from a meeting with Elizabeth, who's my operations assistant, and we were I try to listen to books, you know, when I'm walking, or just listen to nothing and just kind of be in the zone or in the space. And I was reading the Tao Te Ching, which, and it was interesting because the idea of effortless action, it kind of feels like, you know, when you're in your genius, it's that, like there's a congruency there. And I'd love to hear your thoughts before we dive into the actual piece where the shadow comes in, is where some people kind of crap on that stuff, right? They crap on the idea of like effortless action, but that means it seems like it's kind of woo-woo and you know, and you're being more philosophical and not more practical. But there's a lot in there that people miss. Why do you think people don't tap into either this idea of, I'll use the idea of like effortless action, which leads to like that congruency that you can see where they're dwelling in their genius as much as they can. We know it's not something that you can constantly be in because we're human beings. But I mean, when people kind of fear it, maybe that's the way to put it, is they fear this.
I think
this.
You hit it.
They fear it. So why don't they lean into it and run away from it instead, do you think?
Oh, that's so good. So there's a certain part of us that fears it, and that's the ego. But most of us, if we actually are not in that state of ego, we go with the seasons, we go with the flow. And you've definitely had some amazing guests, right? Talk about astrology and the Enneagram and the natural cycles. And that's true productivity, is when you allow your energy to carry you, your genius to carry you. And what I've discovered, which is really sad, but I think, you know, your listeners will get this, whatever our genius is, we are the ones that discount it the most. It's because we get criticized for it. So the same person who's an explorer, right? He would get, you know, when he returned home from his exploring, his mom would be like, where were you?
Yep.
Right. What were you doing? And then later on, his wife was like, you have ADD. You need to focus on something. Right. And so like, we get ostracized or we get criticized for sometimes just being in our own sense of self, following our own energy. But what we don't realize is when we can do it in a balanced way, it actually allows us to follow the cycles of our own energy, and we work less hard, more efficiently versus fighting against it, right? But yeah, you can fight against the seasons or the sunrise or your fatigue or whatever, but you're just going to end up working four times as hard, and nobody wants that, right?
Yeah, I think people get confused activity with productivity, right? The idea of like,
so good.
You know, the idea of, and it's happened, I mean, especially when people don't understand, I could say that, you know, what, I've been doing this for 15 years now easily. There are people that you're like, how do you do what you like? Where's the money come from? How do you make a living? What, you just talk about this stuff and like there would, you know, you go for walks for like an hour at a time. And I'm like, what do you do? I'm like, well, first off, number one, I'm either listening to something, reading, and my phone has this incredible app on it called Drafts, where I will actually dictate thoughts and ideas into it that will turn into things. So it's not like I'm tethering myself to a desk or I'm tethering myself to a to-do list all the time. And I think that's where the problem with productivity, and I tweeted about this back in August, I think it was, about the idea that productivity is fundamentally broken. This idea that we confuse productivity, like efficiency and effectiveness, those are byproducts, right? Like productivity is intention plus attention. The active linking of that. And I think that's where your genius comes into play, because you're saying, what are my intentions? How am I going to pay attention to it? You're cultivating an environment where that kind of thing can thrive, right? Not just survive, but thrive. Does that sound like that's kind of like what you want to have, is just the optimal environment where your genius can thrive and your shadow, which we'll get to, doesn't have as much of a hold over you, or doesn't cast as much of a shadow over you, so to speak?
Yeah. Because Mike, have you found that, you know, the logical mind, you know, when you're doing all the writing and the doing the researching, that can get you so far.
Yeah.
Right. It's like this untapped subconscious. That's like the richness that everyone wants to get to. Then that's why people program their subconscious, so they don't have to do so much of the work. And you know, fundamentally, if our subconscious is working against us, we will know. We will see that as patterns in our life. And can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
And this is like a female-centered story, but I think you'll get it. So currently, I am about 32 weeks pregnant, right? And I learned something really interesting, which is women who are type A, so like very, you know, a corporate woman, women who are like very used to being in control, right? They have according to my doula, they have one of the most difficult times giving birth. And I'll tell you why just really quickly. We have this like, you know, like animalistic part of our brain that controls all our hormones and stuff. And once the body's ready to give birth, there's a cycle of oxytocin and serotonin. And it's like a feedback loop that causes the contractions. The moment the woman, the mom, she begins to try to control it and she just doesn't give into her body and what it's doing, she actually bypasses that and she screws up the hormones and she stops the birthing process, which is why then they need medical interventions. Of course, this is generally speaking, right? Mm-hmm. But that's how we do it. Like if we overthink things, we actually stop the natural things that are happening that are allowing us to, the systems we've already set up,
yeah,
right? For us to get to where we want to go. Isn't that fascinating?
It is. Well, and I think people, again, going back to what I was listening to yesterday, this idea of control and time management. I know the terms in the lexicon. I've said this before. I don't like the term. I've not liked it for a long time because time moves on whether you want it to or not. You can't manage something that essentially has a flow or mind of its own. Like it will not be managed. You can have a good relationship with it, and that's what you want. You want to nurture that. But to manage it, it implies or infers that you actually have some sense of control over it. That's, we all know that that's not how that works. So when I hear a story like that, and by the way, congratulations. I know that I have tried to control things in the past that will not be controlled, and it screws things up because I've tried to control them. Being a parent is exactly one of those things, especially because my two kids are not at all the same. My daughter is very different from my son. One, you know, kind of interaction with one would go very differently than it would with the other, right? And I think that when you try to apply the same kind of approach to things that have an agency of their own or have it can backfire. So sometimes it's just good to let things go the way that they kind of seem that they're going to go. But not only that, recognize that the things that you might be fighting against may actually trying to send you a signal. They may be trying to signify something. Procrastination is an example of that. And you bring up in the book the idea of the shadow being an example. You talk about the shadow as a saboteur, right? But which is interesting because as you go in the book, there's something to that that's not so sinister. Can you touch on that? Because I think most people think when they think of like shadow, it's bad and it's this, it's that. And again, good without evil, there's no good. Without good, there's no evil. Like they each side kind of tells the story to the other one or sends a signal that.
This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Shopify. Dreaming of starting your own business or looking to take your current one to the next level? Shopify is here to make that dream a reality. As the leading e-commerce platform, Shopify empowers you to start, grow, and manage your business with ease. From setting up your online store to scaling globally, Shopify provides all the tools you need to succeed in the marketplace. Customize your storefront, manage your inventory, and connect with your customers all in one place. With direct-to-consumer pricing, same-day shipping, and a global community of entrepreneurs, Shopify supports your journey at every step. Are you ready to transform your business idea into a success story? Visit shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial and embark on your entrepreneurial journey with Shopify. That's shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial. Do it today. This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by 1Password. Imagine a world where forgetting passwords is no longer a hassle and your digital security is uncompromised. 1Password offers a robust, intuitive solution to manage all your passwords with just one master password, safeguarding your information across every device. This isn't just any password manager. It's a comprehensive security tool that encrypts your data, ensuring only you have access. With 1Password, you can generate strong, unique passwords for each of your accounts, store sensitive information securely, and even share important logins with family or colleagues safely. Recognized by Wirecutter as the top pick for password managers, 1Password is the preferred choice for enhancing your online security without the complexity. Enhance your digital security by visiting 1Password.com. And we have a special offer for listeners of A Productive Conversation. Right now, listeners of A Productive Conversation get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/productive convo. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/productive convo. 1Password.com/productive convo. Check out what 1Password can do for you, your business, and even your family today. This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Prolon. If you've ever considered fasting for its health benefits but can't face the idea of days without food, Prolon offers a novel solution. It's a nutrition program that simulates the effects of fasting while allowing you to eat. Developed by scientists at the USC Longevity Institute, Prolon supports weight management, enhances physical performance, and bolsters gut health through a meticulously crafted 5-day meal program. This isn't just another diet. It's a lifestyle change backed by Nobel Prize-winning research, designed to trigger cellular rejuvenation and promote overall well-being. I can't wait to put it through the paces. The meals, ranging from savory soups to nutritious snacks, are all designed to ensure your body achieves a fasting state with the energy you need to maintain your daily routine. Prolon is convenient, providing everything in a single box delivered to your doorstep. I am anxiously awaiting mine. I encourage you to check out Prolon as well. If you're ready to see how Prolon can change the way you think about fasting and nutrition, then right now, Prolon is offering A Productive Conversation listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/timecrafting. That's prolonlife.com/timecrafting for this special offer. Head over to prolonlife.com/timecrafting to get started today.
You can decide what to do with, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the thing that I can't stand that we do a lot of is we do demonize the shadow. We do demonize, you know, our traumas or our money blocks, and we have to fight it or overcome it or kill our fear. And it's an attitude that doesn't work because in essence, it's part of yourself that you're trying to kill and defeat, right? And so I do see that a lot with people, and probably you see it too. Like, we have this kind of weird competitive relationship with ourselves. And that is not necessarily the most productive or nurturing, right? Because you really want to be aligned with your shadow and your ego, and you want to know what's lurking underneath the surface. Because, and that's, I think, one of the key things that people who've told me, who've read the book throughout, they've said that the most shocking thing is they realize that their shadow is actually the one running the business, even though they're really smart, even though they might've gotten MBAs, even though they've been in business, you know, like you for over a decade and stuff. They're like, yeah, but actually I don't show up in my marketing the way that I want to. Oh, because I'm afraid that I'm going to be judged, or I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing, mm-hmm. or actually don't do sales calls, or I don't ask for, you know, the amount of money that I know that I can quote or whatever. And they realize, oh, that's actually a shadow, unconscious, limiting belief. And it's not that it's a bad thing. That shadow's probably been helping you, you know, stay a certain size or stay in your safe zone, right? But the part where people really notice it is when they try to break free, because that's actually usually when the shadow shows up the most. And that's when we call it self-sabotage, is people get sick, their lives go crazy, and they can't do their launch. And it seems like these kind of natural things, but when you look at it throughout the months and the years, it's a pattern.
Yep. Right? Yeah. It, you know, it's funny. When I was going through the book, especially the idea of, like, you know, the ideal clients, high paying clients, things like that. With my one-on-one coaching and that, I do have high paying clients, but most of my clients are middle-class knowledge workers that I know need help with time management and personal productivity that don't get catered to, right? They, you know, most of it. And for years, so this is where I think the shadow played differently. It didn't play differently for me, but when I was reading, going, oh, that's what that was, is I finally, like, I released a product not too long ago, and you talked about procrastination and illness and things showing up in the book too, how they can play a role. I released a mini course called the Procrastination Course. I'd be remiss if I didn't link it in the show notes. But when I released it, it was like, it was $6 pre-launch, $15 on launch day, $24 on from this point there forward. That's the pricing as it stands right now. And it was funny because it's a mini course. So I know, I mean, I've been around long enough to know what a mini course looks like for me. And I got at least a handful of emails saying, oh, you're not charging enough for this. You're not charging enough for this. Now, That's not the first time I've heard that about anything in my business. And I finally wrote a long essay about it. Like, it was like, why I think it's on Medium. It's called Why I Charge for My Stuff, What I Charge for My Stuff. It was like, and it was, as I wrote it, I could feel both release and resistance. If that, you know what I mean? So the resistance wasn't, you shouldn't be writing this because you're never going to attract high price clients. No, the resistance, that's what the shadow was trying. Like, I think that's what the shadow was saying. Don't do this because once you say this, that's it. It's over. Like, you basically, and the release was, I'm so tired of answering that darn question. I'm so tired of people saying it. I just want, like, if someone says you're not charging enough, I can just read why. Link. Like, I could do that. And it was very weird because part of me, when I wrote that, was thinking, again, part of that resistance, part of that was, first was, once you do this, you're done. You can't do it. You can't call. Then the other was, that means now you're saying you're not worth enough. Like, so it was trying different things to get me to stop.
But yeah.
So what I find fascinating about the shadow, and we kind of went through this, is you wrote this actually in the executive self versus the shadow self part. You know, the act of using our shadow to access our light actually brings us closer to our true essence, our connection with spirit and God. And if you're a religious person, I'm not religious per se, but I felt most like my true. Once I hit send, it was like, boom. And the shadow was kind of like, it was almost like I didn't know if it was going, okay, good. See, good. We made it work for you. Like, and that's what it will probably do because, like, well, we can't go away. So we're going to, that works. Reverse psychology works. So, that's another way it shows up, right? Not just in the, like, it's going to keep you from doing that, but it keeps ramping up its ammunition every single time, doesn't it?
Ooh, I think you just illustrated it so perfectly. I could feel the kind of tug of war. And that's when you know when you're in shadow territory, right? When you're in ego territory, is that all or nothing. It's that resistance. It feels like you're kind of fighting something. It feels like an uphill battle. And, you know, for whatever it's worth, I think you did an awesome job just really like talking yourself through it, right? And really listening, because the shadow usually, it's very logical. It gives you a bunch of thoughts and a bunch of fears and a bunch of reasons. And then you almost have to like kind of talk to yourself. But intuition, right? You just kind of know, no, I'm going to write this article. I'm going to hit send. It's much quieter. It's much more subdued. It's much softer, but it's more vast. And so I love that example that you give, because if everyone can just listen to what you just said, your story, they can tell within themselves, oh, this is when I'm in shadow and conscious territory. Oh, and this is my intuition, right? Because we can easily ignore intuition because it's so much more subtle. Our shadow's really loud.
Well, speaking of subtlety, when I was done, I'm like, this is a sales page. This turned into a sales page somehow. This turned into an advertisement for my business somehow by writing this. And I wouldn't be surprised when you do this, it's not just going to be like you putting your line in the sand, Mike. It's going to be like, you're telling people that this is, if they want to buy something from you, you've now given them the perfect reason to. So there you go. And I'm like, as soon as I'm like, wow, well, I'll put a thing at the bottom that like, if you want to buy something, go ahead. And it was like, it was just perfectly in line and it worked. But the whole intent wasn't to quote sell things. The intent was to remove that portion of doubt, of not fear. Well, fear shows up in a whole bunch of different ways, but it was to kind of get past that point. And what's interesting is, for me, that was an exercise in just doing it, but you have a lot of exercises in the book too, that kind of help people through this as well, through whether it's the, you know, the business assessment, the don't wait exercise, there's several of them. Why did you feel it was important to put exercises through the process of going through the book?
We battle our shadows all the time, every day, with every moment. And a lot of us don't realize it. And I believe this is in the free download too. You know, if you just go through the different aspects of your life or in your business, you know, like marketing, sales, financial, all that stuff. And if you just kind of follow through with some of the questions, like how confident, it's really simple. It's like, how confident do you feel when you are marketing your business, or how confident do you feel stating your needs in your relationship or something like that, right? Anything that's kind of low on the scale, like under an 8 or a 7, your shadow's probably taking over the show. And I know for a lot of us, if we take that test, we're going to be like, wow, my shadow's running my entire life. And that's okay. That's most people. Mm-hmm. But just noticing, right? And then just being aware of how your shadow shows up every day, just simple things. Like you want, you know, if I wanted my husband to walk the dog while I took a nap for 15 minutes, like I don't even know if I can physically ask for that, right? Because it feels so greedy or I feel so guilty. Guess what? That's my shadow saying, well, you can't take time for yourself. And that always has repercussions in my business too. And so our lives and our businesses, everything, our health, it's all connected. And I just want everyone to know that it's really normal for your shadow to be running the show, and it doesn't need to be. You know, you can be like Mike and have a conversation and push through. And now you're aware of that part of you, and it becomes your ally. It becomes something that actually, the more that we listen to our intuition and our true self and what it really wants, that energy gets bigger than shadow energy. And our shadow at the end of the day, it just wants to keep us safe. It's like this little inner child that's like, no, don't do it. It's scary. But when it feels like there's an actual adult in charge, which, you know, you look around and you see adults, but how many people actually behave like adults, right?
Yeah.
When it finds that there's an actual adult in charge, it's like, okay, I respect you. Mm-hmm. All right, you can run the ship now. Right, you can steer. I can just kind of go off and do my own thing.
Yeah, it's almost as if the shadow, because when I look at like the kind of like the polarities basically there's logic and there's emotion. Those are on opposite sides. And then reason's right down the center. And people are like, well, I want to be balanced. I'm like, well, balance is such a... it's never permanent, because you're always kind of like, that's why it's balance, right? It's funny to me, it almost feels like, and I mean, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, is the shadow tries logic. When logic doesn't work, it really pulls at emotions. So it tries to go, it goes either like, well, this is what we do and this is why we do it. And then if intuition and the executive self starts to find ways to pull us more towards reason, then the shadow jumps over reason, goes right to emotion. Yeah, but you're not good enough. Yeah, but you're not. Yeah. Like, it goes to like it taps into the most human part of ourselves, which is emotion, because logic is very like, again, that's why I'm going to do this thing, because it's, you know, the bandwidth level is low, or the barrier to actually hurting me is lower if I follow the logical path. Whereas the other side is, oh man, you're like getting me to my core, right? Like you're really hurting me, right? And so I'm imagining that the executive self, the intuition, all that, like, is trying to pull you back to this as close to reason as you can be, so that you can actually power, like, you know, kind of recognize what you really should be doing in those moments. Does that sound about right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And reason's always there. The choice that you know that's good for you, the thing that, you know, you kind of know, like, this is the thing I, you know, like, should be doing, right? It's always there. It's kind of like the shadow's what pulls you away. Right. And then it can get really, so I wonder, are kids like that when they want to guilt you into like giving them something or letting them do something? Do they just like get to your emotion?
I think they start. It's funny, because my, like, I would say that my kids start with emotion, because it's the most, like, it's innate, right? Like emotion, like crying or temper, like those are emotions. But I can tell you, as they get older, they start to go towards logic, right? That they'll go the other way to get they want. They'll go like, well, wait a minute, but this is what you did before. So why are we not doing this now? And it's like, well, and then you tell them and like, well, that doesn't seem right. Like, so they learn. And the idea is ultimately, hopefully they have a balance of both of those things. They don't go too far one way, too far the other all the time. But yeah, I would say, I know in my experience, it's very much early on, it's all emotion, and that drains your emotions. And then eventually they tap into logic, which is interesting, because if they go too far, that can actually pull on your emotions, because you're like, I really don't want to talk about this anymore. Like, you're making too much sense, but really this is a completely different scenario. So yeah, it's, which is probably why parenting, like when people say, you know, does it get any easier? I'm like, no, just different. It's different. I mean, I've got an 18-year-old and a 12-year-old, and, you know, the 12-year-old's heading towards teenagedom, and my, you know, my 18-year-old's close to heading out the door, I would imagine. And I know the journey when my son goes through those teenage years is going to be very different than the journey that my daughter went through. And you just, it won't be any easier. It'll just be different. And if you go in, I think that's the thing. If you go in with that mentality, I think with any situation, like if you go in with an open mind, it means you have more tools to help you cope.
Yes.
As opposed to control, because you can't control it. I mean, I can tell you that if we tried to control my daughter to the level that my parents tried to control me, wouldn't have gone so well, right? So, I mean, we've been very, I think there has to be some boundaries, obviously, and there has to be, but I think every situation, if you go in with an open mind and plenty of tools at your disposal, you're in a much better situation than if you go in with a very kind of like, this is how it is, because all of a sudden a bunch of your tools won't work and a bunch of your preconceived notions will, and they'll probably work against you, right?
Oh, yeah. And there is a tool that I think is really helpful. And it's just kind of, I know it's an energetic tool. It might even be a psychological one, I don't know, but it's like this assumption that everything's going to work out. So you kind of go into the unknown, right? You go into an unknown conversation, or you take on a project, it's unknown. But I think what's really important, and some people might say have the end in mind, right? But I'd say like even more general than that, just know that it's absolutely going to work out for you. And whenever you can truly believe that, things happen in the middle that will naturally figure itself out. But having that trust in yourself, I think that's the thing, that if your shadow is not allowing you to have that trust in yourself, I would say that's the most important thing for anybody doing anything, is right, trusting that it's going to work out for you. And I know it sounds really corny and really simple, but try it and you'll be surprised how often we actually catastrophize the opposite, which is, I'm going to do this, I don't know if it's going to work out. It probably won't work out, but I'm just going to make myself suffer through it anyway. And then it's a crapshoot. But really having that, holding that energy of, this is definitely going to work out. It might look differently than what I want, right? Or what I picture, but no matter what, it's going to work out for me. It's very similar to when you gave that example about your response to your launch, to your program.
It's funny. And this is going to lead in nicely to what I'm going to show you here, but people talk about, like, there's this line in Star Wars, Revenge of the Sith, where Anakin's turned, spoiler alert, Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader, for those of you that did not know. So I'm sorry if I spoiled it for you.
But if you didn't know, you probably won't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't know who that is anyway. But anyway, there's a line where he says something very absolute, and Obi-Wan Kenobi says, only a Sith deals in absolutes. And I challenge that, because a Jedi deals in absolutes too. Like, there's Jedis that, if you pay attention, they deal. So there's one Jedi that I particularly like named Qui-Gon Jinn, who just followed the will of the Force.
Yeah.
He just followed the will of the Force. And so he was, people call him, he was a gray Jedi. I'm like, he was misunderstood by both. The Sith feared him, and the Jedi Council were like, ooh, this guy's a wild card. But if anything, he was the one Force user. Unfortunately, he did not make it through the first film, that the Sith were really super afraid of, because he just listened to the Force. And the Jedi were like, well, we can't control this guy. And the reason I think this is apt, is there's a part in part three of the book, you talk about becoming whole, and you talk about Kintsugi. And I actually have a Kintsugi kit that my son and I bought at a local bookstore over the holidays. We haven't used it yet, but the reason that Kintsugi comes up in the Star Wars universe is because Kylo Ren's helmet was put together in the I think it's in the third film, using Kintsugi. Like, it's red. You can see that, right? So
wow.
This idea of, I think a lot of people feel that, speaking of absolutes, that I either want to be absolutely my executive self and push the shadow out of the equation altogether, or there's no way that I can win this war against the shadow self, so what's the point? So again, this idea of absolutism. So this
leads to depression and anxiety.
Right. So in order to become whole, you talk about the healing and integration process. Like, can you touch on this? Because I think people really want this idea of accomplishment, achievement. I beat procrastination. No, you didn't. Procrastination is, you just have to learn how to, handle it, because it's going to, there are certain things that you will never beat. And I believe the shadow falls into that. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, and this idea of how you can integrate and heal. So that way, while you know it's still going to be there, when it shows up, you know what to do, or you at least know how to mitigate some of the, you know, harm or hindrance that it can cause.
Yeah, that's a beautiful question, because as someone who's really suffered with anxiety and depression and various mental health issues for a long time, I realized that it was this that absolute kind of like, I'm feeling good, being healthy is this way, right? And I can't have all these crazy thoughts. And sometimes I'm thinking like, do I still want to exist and whatever? But that's the beauty of being friends with your shadow and kind of going, getting comfortable in the layer of dragons, kind of taking it to Game of Thrones kind of yep. angle. It's like we kind of demonize the parts of us that are kind of scary or that we don't like or we don't want other people to see. And I'm just saying, in the quiet of your own consciousness, in the quiet of your own home, find some love for those parts of you. And it might be really scary at first, actually, but the more you kind of lean into it, the more you realize, oh, these parts of me are really powerful. These dark parts of me aren't actually that dark. They might be kind of grotesque feeling to me because I've been shamed my whole life for being this way or being too emotional or, you know, being lazy, when really you're not lazy. You just compute things in a different way. You express things in a different way, right? When you can really learn to love even just one part of you that's a little bit that you don't want to show other people, that part of you actually unleashes a lot of captive energy that gives you a whole different life force. That is kintsugi, which is basically, you know, gold joinery, right? You have like this beautiful porcelain cup that you break sometimes on purpose just so you can join it again with like beautiful gold filling, and then it becomes a work of art. And that's really who we are. And we need to be okay with that first, with all of our imperfections and stretch marks and our scars. As I get older, I'm just collecting more scars from living life, like actual physical scars. And it's like, oh, this is my favorite arm. Now I have road rash on it. You know, it's just like, but they're memories and they're wonderful. And the more that we can be flexible and dancing with the universe and be flexible and loving to ourselves, that's how I naturally, like one day the depression, it really just went away. And the anxiety, and I don't worry anymore. And it's not because I took drugs or did anything drastic. Not, I mean, you know, if you need to do that, right? But it was really just like this, like really conscious and slow and methodical self-loving process. Then now I'm so much more powerful. When I go into a room, I know who's done shadow work. I know who accepts parts of themselves. I know who I can just say something to and trigger them, and they can go into a frenzy, right? I know this because I've been to those like deep, dark parts of myself. And you might need someone to hold your hand. Please get someone to hold your hand if you're like, this is too much for me, right? I definitely had so much help with that, with all of my mentors and therapists and all of that stuff. But it's so fulfilling because you're such a badass when you can walk through your shadow and you're like, oh, here's my fear coming up. I just made a big investment in something, but you know what? I know it's going to work out. And you feel like such a badass. Can I say that on your show?
You can absolutely say badass. And this has been a badass conversation, and I appreciate it. The book's called Shadow Magic: Turn Your Fear into Fuel and Create a Prosperous Coaching Business. Where can people keep up with you, pick up the book, and keep up with you in the work you're doing?
AnnaSmee.com.
Awesome. Anna, thanks so much for having a productive and, like I said, badass conversation with me today.
Yeah, rock on.
Big thanks to Anna for joining me on the program this week. If you want to get all the information, check out all the links, including the link to, you know, the procrastination course, which I touch on, the link to the pricing article that I talk about, the link to her book, so many other things. Just go to productivityist.com/podcast449 to make that happen. The other thing you're going to want to make happen is to check out our sponsors. It's one of the ways to support the show. Just go to productivityist.com/podcast sponsors to do that. And before you close your podcasting app that you are using to listen to this right now, hit the subscribe button. That way you don't miss a single episode of what's to come and can easily find the 440 plus episodes that are in the archives, featuring guests like David Allen, Gretchen Rubin, Laura Vanderkam, Chris Bailey, Cal Newport. The list goes on and on and on. And the list will continue to go on and on because we've got a whole plethora of episodes to come. And that's it for this episode of A Productive Conversation. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Mike Vardy, and I'm reminding you right here and now to stop doing productive and start being productive. See you later.